If you remember last week, our subject was the gates of hell, and we saw that it actually refers to the authority over the grave. And of course, Christ is the only one that ever was able to speak and act with any authority in the face of death. He had the power to raise himself from the grave. Today, I want to continue along that line with another subject that is similar to that, because we did see last week with regard to what the Pharisees taught with regard to the bosom of Abraham and how that has carried over into our culture today, where we have this understanding that grandma and grandpa are walking around in heaven looking down at us. And if that's the case, then what does the resurrection have anything to do with? And so our subject this morning is, what is the state of death? It's important to have an understanding of that. Otherwise, you find all kinds of contradictions in Scripture with regard to this subject of the state of death. So if you will, to begin with, let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, page 1671 on the Companion Bible. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Of course, we know that was Christ Jesus. And then turn over a few pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, page 1722. Chapter 15, beginning with verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The Lord sees the whole race as having already died. He even predicted it. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, you don't need to go there, it's a short verse. It says, in that day that ye eat, thou shalt die. Speaking to both Adam and to Eve. So as far as he's concerned, all of the seed is dead so far, because all of the race was in Adam at that point. 100% of man was in Adam, and Adam sinned, and therefore, as far as the Lord's concerned, the whole human race was in trouble at that point. And it was ordained that way. But the good news is there's hope as a result. The Lord, in his infinite knowledge, knew that man would be sinful. And so he had provided a way down the road somewhere to take care of this. And we've studied Job before. We see in Job that there was hope. The oldest question known to man, some 4,000 years old, Job asked the question, if a man die, will he live again? And, of course, the scripture hadn't been written yet. Job didn't have a whole lot to go on. So he takes a look at his environment, and he sees a tree, and he says, well, you know, if you cut that tree down, it springs back again to life. If God had that worked out for a tree, surely he must have something as good or better for man. And he struggles with that. But in the end, he finally came to the understanding, he said, my Redeemer liveth. And at that day, and of course he's speaking of the rock that we spoke of last week. He says, my Redeemer liveth, and at that day I will see him face to face. So typically we view the dead as one large group with two classes in that large group. We as Christians, we tend to think that the unbelieving in Adam are dead. The believing ones in Christ are dead, but awaiting resurrection. And that's true, but it's not totally accurate in concept. Close, but not right on. There are two words in the New Testament that refer to sleep and are often confused or mixed up with death and with one another. And it's important to understand the difference to arrive at where we really want to get to this morning, and that is the truth surrounding the state of death. These two words, the one is a Greek word called koimai. That's dead. K-O-I-M-A-M-A-I. Koimai. And that Greek word means to involuntarily or involuntary death. The other word is katheto. It's K-A-T-H-E-U-D-O. Katheto. And katheto has the meaning of it's active in that you are comparing oneself to sleep as opposed to involuntary. So one is active, and this word is passive. And they're both used different places. And we're going to look and see, because in understanding these two words, then you begin to comprehend what is the state of death. They are actually synonyms. We don't have anything quite like it in English. So, turn first of all to an illustration of this. Turn to John chapter 11. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 11. And this is the story of a certain man that was sick named Lazarus in the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And we won't read all of the first part of it. We'll start in chapter 11 with the 11th verse. These things he, being Christ, said, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do it well. And howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he spoken of taking of rest in sleep. And then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So here he's speaking to them plainly, which they had asked him to do in the preceding chapter. It's kind of strange in chapter 10. They said, Lord, just speak to us plainly. So here he's speaking to them plainly. Lazarus is dead, but he's going to wake him up from sleep. Seems a little bit strange. So was Christ mistaken? Did Lazarus die in the meantime? Was he asleep? And then did he die before Christ got there? What's going on there? Well, the other illustration we find in the book of Luke, back up a book to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Verse 51. And here's another situation where there's a maid that's dead or asleep. Jesus, when he came into the house, he suffered, beginning with verse 51. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maiden, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And the parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. So he says she's asleep. Of course, her spirit then came to her. And so this is somewhat confusing because in the first case, Lazarus, he referred to as sleeping, but said he was dead. And in the second story here, he referred to the little girl as not dead, but sleepeth. And so the key is back to understanding these two Greek words, koimai, which is involuntary, or sleep, or death, and katheuto, which is active, or voluntary, sleep, or in some cases it can even be referred to as like a coma. And of course, there's always some Sharpie that has some question about this, but the early Christians, they rightly referred to their burying places as sleeping places. And our word cemetery, by the way, comes from this word, comes from that word. But somebody's always trying to figure out something that doesn't square with Scripture, and they talk about her spirit returning, and is that proof that she was not dead or that she was dead? Well, as it turns out, her spirit returning is actually a Hebrewism. If you take a quick look back to 1 Samuel chapter 30, it's on page 407 in the Companion Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 12. Well, I'll start with verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. So I point that out. That's a Hebrewism that his spirit came to him. So he really wasn't dead. And so this little girl here that they said, Christ said, "Well, fever, give her some meat," you know, really is not evidence that she was dead. She slept. The good illustration of the two close together is found then in 1 Thessalonians. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Page 1792 in the Companion Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, in those verses, the word sleep, here is consistently this word, koimaomai. And verse 16, the dead in Christ, you know, confirms that they're dead. Now turn over to chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. In these two instances, the first one, they're speaking of being dead. But here, in the second one, in the fifth chapter, the word kathuto is used consistently. And it actually has to do with being sleepy. Therefore, be diligent is what the chapter is teaching about there, is to be diligent in life with Christ. Don't slack. Pay attention. Study to show yourself approved. Evidence, he's saying, don't be lazy in your Christian experience. Think in things of the Lord. That it's important that you not be sleepy with regard to your Christian life. From these two different words, we can learn this. Lazarus was actually dead, whereas the friends and family thought the maiden was dead, but she was in sleep or a coma. It's a scriptural fact that the believing dead are said to be asleep always. Sleep and awake are figures used of death and resurrection, contrary to what is so often taught, the immortality of the soul, this intermediate state of somebody being in the bosom of Abraham, or grandma and grandpa walking around in heaven, more alive in heaven than they were dead on earth. It just is not scriptural as to what's taught. Death conceived of as sleep from which there is no awakening until the resurrection is contrary to the teaching that embraces the unscriptural teaching known as the intermediate state and the immortality of the soul. If you think that, it wipes out the need for resurrection, which is talked about throughout the scripture, totally. And the heathen poets even try to soften the blow by referring to things as sleep, like eternal sleep or perpetual sleep or unanswered brazen sleep or sleeping of the soul. And that's where the bosom of Abraham, the Pharisees taught. If you remember last week, those that were in the bosom of Abraham could look over in hell and see those others that were over there suffering, and they couldn't take them any water and so forth. All of that is not scriptural. So the question arises, does sleep refer to the dead only? Or those only that have died in faith? And some say, well, you know, Redmond, that's... let me show you something that goes counter to that, they'll say. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. And we find this same thought in 2 Samuel. I think I told you. Yeah, 2 Samuel chapter 7. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. It's on page 417 in the Companion Bible. And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And they use this showing that Moses shall sleep with the fathers. David, he shall sleep with the fathers. But you can also find where some of the worst guys in the Old Testament still are sleeping with the fathers too. Jeroboam, Rehoboam, Baasha, all are referred to as sleeping with the fathers. And it just goes to show you that you have to dig a little bit deeper, because it's just like in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there's these two different words that refer to sleep. The first one is the Hebrew word shakab, means to lie down in the grave. And the other one is shana, which does mean to sleep. And so here, if you just read the English, you're thinking that they're one and the same, but they're not. It's just like in the New Testament. One referring strictly to death, the other referring to a sleep or a coma where it's active and not passive. Saints in the scripture are always said to sleep. Lazarus slept. Stephen, who was stoned, slept. Christ, who was the first fruits of them that slept, if you remember that verse. Believers are said to have fallen asleep in Christ, both in the Old Testament, in the Gospels, in the Acts, and in the epistles. But to fall asleep is not once used to speak of an unbeliever. The Lord never says, he never, never, never says, ye shall fall asleep in your sins. What does he say? Ye shall die in your sins. For the believer that dies, he is asleep in Christ because of the rock. The rock is the one who had authority in the face of death. The only one in history who had the power to raise himself out of the grave. And so that is the hope for the believer. The believer falls asleep. We fall asleep in our sins, but we die in our sins. Did I say that right? Ye shall fall asleep in your sins. He never says. He never says, ye shall fall asleep in your sins. Ye shall die in your sins. And he has the authority to take you out of that situation. What is plain death to the unbeliever is to fall asleep in Christ and to be redeemed. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, page 1689, beginning with verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Christ is the Lord of the dead and the living. However, in Adam all die, but in Christ the believer falls asleep. to be wakened at resurrection. Turn over to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Blessed are those that die or fall asleep in the Lord. And I kind of wanted to have this included with the lesson last week on the gates of hell, but it was a little bit too much to try to crowd in, and so I wanted to pick up and have this week, because there's so much confusion with regard to this. You're always hearing about, well, he's already gone to heaven, he's in a better place. Well, the Christian is in a better place. They're asleep in Christ, awaiting that glorious day, that glorious resurrection day. But what you hear taught typically today annuls the need for a resurrection, because these people are already alive as they were before they were dead. So I wanted to get back to these verses with regard to asleep in Christ and how you have to be very careful. Sometimes you got to realize that we don't see the original of the scriptures. What we see is what's been translated. And sometimes the translators didn't understand a whole lot better than they should have. And so we get sometimes the wrong connotation if we're not careful. That's why it's so important to have those who have gone before us and studied the language and provide some notes along the side. This companion Bible gives evidence of this that we've been speaking about, because Dr. Bullinger and Dr. Welch and Sir Robert Anderson and some of these other guys have spent lifetimes in searching out the truth. And so it's the good news. I'm not going to die. I'm going to fall asleep. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your written word. How grateful we are that we can have a better understanding that gives us a peace of mind and a confidence that you are the rock of our salvation and that you do have authority over death. Praise you will continue to allow us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. For us in your Son's name, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.